We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Zadroik, joined by Chris Owen. We're talking game week 26 in the Premier League. Coming off another positive week, Chris has been, I think he told me, 7-1 the last 2 weeks. I'm on a little bit of a cold spell, but our team parlay hit last week, so up $300 on that. Chris, you got the pitter-patter of the rain in the background. Rainy Seattle days for you, but the Sounders got that big opening win.
Yeah. Well, first of all, yeah, great to get a little success past couple weeks. But most important of all, we got a little bit of team success on the team parlay last week. Our League Cup parlay hit, and yeah, that was really exciting. Yep. And then, yeah, unfortunately, there's a downspout pretty close to where I'm recording. So early apologies if there is any, you hear the rain coming down the downspout outside my house. But, you know, just any port in a storm, I guess. And then finally, we had a MLS kicked off last weekend. We had the team that I guess you could say I support, Seattle Sounders, which is where I live. They got it started with a 4-0 victory, and yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm hitting up the game this weekend. They play RSL, so I will be in attendance, and yeah, might have a. Hopefully, I mean, got to bring the raincoat, obviously, but hopefully we get to see another win.
Got to bring the raincoat. Yeah, so our record here. Chris is now up to 34-28, up 657. This is all on $100 bets. That's all we do on Kits and Wagers, $100 bets on all of our bets. I'm 43-23, up 2,297. And the team parlay is up 665. The entire show is up $3,619. That is what you call success. So... Can we keep it up? Yeah. Can we keep it up? We'll see. Last week, you know, I was back from Florida. I rushed my picks. I did a classic Chris Owen. I rushed my picks Thursday morning. So I apologize to the people for some of those plays, a couple bad ones. But
hey, you rushing your picks comes at about 9 a.m. versus where if I'm rushing my picks, it comes out about 6
a.m. A little different. Yeah, I did want to bring up. So I was sitting down to write my article this week, and then I looked at all my plays for this show. Am I taking the easy way out and just doing corner bets only, and not even looking at money lines, not looking at over unders, no double chances, not even both teams to score anymore? It's just all corner bets. Is this just the easy way out here?
No, I think you know any good bettor finds his vein of success and follows that. So why you don't, when you look at the bottom line, which is your bank account or betting, it's like, you don't get, it doesn't look any better, whether it's, you know, you took a money line bet or a corners and wagers bet, it just says up whatever amount of money, you know? So it would be silly to be like, oh, you know, there's no moral victories in betting. In my opinion, you just got to go with what's working and what makes the returns.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I just know
some people may feel differently. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this is corners and wagers today. I got four corner bets, but Chris Chris does not have any corner bets.
I have yet to make a corner bet, I feel like.
I think you did. It was Southampton, and it didn't hit.
I tried it once and got the heck out of there. I'll leave it to the expert.
Yeah. All right. So the first match we're talking about is pretty – it's the first match of the weekend, Saturday, early Saturday. Chris will not be getting up for this one, 7:30 a.m. Eastern.
Maybe I'll still be up the night before.
If it's a busy night, busy Friday night, maybe Chris will be able to watch this one. But we got Manchester City minus 230 to win. These odds have not really changed at all. Newcastle are plus 600 to win, and then the draw is plus 400. Over 2.5 goals is minus 155. If you think there's going to be more than that, over 3.5 goals is plus 165. And then under 2.5 goals is plus 125. These teams played early in the season. I'm pretty positive I got that bet wrong because it finished 3-3. I want to say you – I didn't look back at this.
I got it right. I took Newcastle. It was plus
one. Was it double chance or plus one? Plus one and a half?
I think it was like plus 1.5.
This was before like Newcastle, top six yeah. Newcastle. This was first month of the season. So
yeah, this is
I guess
long
that makes
time,
sense. Though. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I do remember we bet this one as well.
Funny enough, you looks like you're going to take the opposite route here, but there shouldn't be too many questions. These teams, Manchester City, I believe they played on Tuesday. I don't even think Newcastle played middle of the week. They had the cup final on Sunday, which is what we hit on our team parlay. But otherwise, I mean, injuries were looking pretty good for both of these teams. No real changes. So let me just click into Bruno here. I know he was in a bit of pain, according to Eddie Howe. We don't think it's serious at the moment.
Maybe it's a little 90, though, I thought.
Yeah, I assume he's going to be fine, but Bruno Guimarães apparently, you know, tweaked his ankle in the cup final. Tweaked ankles, Bruno kind of plays through those things. So we'll see on that. If he's not in the squad, maybe our bets – well, maybe not your bet will look different, but maybe my bet will look different. But what do you think is going to happen in this one? Manchester City at home, maybe revenge from that prior game?
Yeah, really interesting matchup here too, because you know Man City they've what won 4 straight in the league I think right now, and they look pretty convincing over Bournemouth last weekend, and so yeah, I City's playing really well right now I think, and Newcastle is coming through the gauntlet of like 3 tough matches. They lost that one 2-0 to Liverpool when Nick Pope got sent off, and then just to follow that up and go to the League Cup final where I thought they looked pretty good, but you know, Manchester United was just a bit more clinical. They got the goal from Casemiro off the free kick, and then it was Rashford a little bit later.
Yeah, it was Rashford own goal, and then Rashford. Yeah. Opta stat provider changed it like overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, so Liverpool, Man United, and now Manchester City at Manchester City. So pretty tough string of games there. I was looking back at this because I'm kind of all over Man City on this one. I think what we've seen recently in them is them like kind of hitting their stride, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Newcastle side who's coming off 2 losses and going into Etihad to maybe not play as well. So I looked at a variety of bets here. First, I started at the over because in previous matches, this has been like a ridiculous amount of goals in this matchup. I think it was 3-3 earlier this year. And then even prior to that, it was 5-0 Man City back in last May, 4-0 Man City. And then the one before that was 4-3 Man City. So just like a ton of goals between these two sides, well, between Manchester City, basically. But so I looked at that right away, and you don't really get good odds until you hit 3.5. So the over 3.5 is plus 165 when I looked at it last night. And then I looked at the next one, was like, oh, could I get Man City, you know, over 2 goals, over 2.5. And that was, you don't get into the plus odds until, I guess you get plus odds at over 2.5 goals, which is plus 155. Kind of decent, but that you're asking them to score 3 goals, which I feel like is a lot for a Newcastle side that's not giving up a whole lot of goals. So then finally I ended up on Manchester City to win spread at minus 1.5. So we're going to need them to win by 2 goals, but you get plus 115 when I looked last night. I just think they'll be able to dominate. And Newcastle is coming off a tough couple of games. I do think, I mean, they'll get Pope back in net, which is huge for them. But I just think that Manchester City should be at a good spot here. They're playing at home. They're finding the back of that pretty consistently. And that's the way I see it. I am a little concerned. Newcastle has two losses in the Premier League all this season, and they both came to Liverpool. Prior to their loss to Liverpool was that a week or two ago. Their last loss came August 31st. So a bit of concern, but overall I just think Manchester City is a better side, and they should be able to dominate this matchup.
Yeah, Chris coming off as he took Manchester United over 1.5 goal in that cup final. This is kind of, you know, in that same vein, if Man City, you know, they win 2-0 kind of a thing, this bet hits. Yeah, the thing with Newcastle, I think also helps you, is that their attack is just kind of struggling a bit since the World Cup break. It just really hasn't been there. They've kind of been playing a lot of 1-1 results, a lot of scoreless draws. They just haven't figured it out, even though I got my ESOC kit on here from Real Sociedad, but we'll see if Callum Wilson maybe comes back into the starting 11. They've kind of had an issue there, but I was just looking at the recent away matches, and this includes FA Cup, League Cup. They've scored 3 goals in their last 6 away matches. One of those was a 2-1 loss against Sheffield Wednesday. So clearly they're having a scoring issue. This one's away from home against Manchester City. So you throw that matchup in. I'm not sure about the 3-3 result. I don't think Newcastle are going to take the same approach they had in that match first month of the season when they kind of went for it and got a point out of it in the 3-3 result. I just don't think they can, you know, open up their back that much in this spot. But either way, I think I said on our last show that Newcastle have maybe more corners or the second most corners in the league, so maybe more corners than Manchester City. And I took them over 4.5 corners, I believe, in the cup final. And then those odds moved so much that it was like over 5.5 is what the odds moved to. But I'm taking over 3.5 corners in this match. You just have a team that is getting a ton of corners against no matter who they're playing. I don't care that they're struggling to score. I just think that they will have enough, even though this is a tough spot, they'll have enough to get to at least 4 corners. I don't think it's asking that much for them to get 4 corners. I believe midweek, I looked this up, Bristol City had 4 corners against Manchester City. I mean, if Bristol City's getting corners, I know that's what it was home, Bristol City were home, but it just, I mean, this is a corners pick here. This is a low number, I don't want to dive too deep in here, even though I already did, but over 3.5 corners for Newcastle there. Chris has Manchester City -1.5. You like that corner pick, Chris?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we mentioned it last week before League Cup final. We'll mention it again. But yeah, Manchester City currently leading the league in corners, but they've played 2 more matches than Newcastle. They have 165 corners on the season, while Newcastle has 159 with two less matches played. So you got to believe that Newcastle's able to get to 4 corners here. We looked at the last match, but it was 3-3 and it was only banger goals too. So like, I feel like if it's anything like that, it might be back and forth. We might get some opportunities on both sides, both set pieces there. So yeah, I like this bet just because overall we know that Newcastle gets a ton of corners.
Yeah, both teams had 5 corners in that first meeting. I mean, the odds are like this because Manchester City allow the fewest amount of corners in the league because they always dominate possession. And clearly that's a worry. But, I mean, we just saw in that Manchester United game, not that I'm comparing Manchester City with Manchester United, but this Newcastle team still has the players. As long as Bruno starts for them, I think, you know, they're still going to have the opportunities. Even though they're not scoring, they're getting into positions, in attacking positions, which lead to corners in every match. And this is just a low number, which is based off Manchester City, even at home, where they're allowing like 2 corners per match. But, you know, the majority of those matches aren't against a team like Newcastle. So a lot of those matches, it's like, okay, home against Bournemouth, home against Nottingham Forest. I mean, you can't really compare in that situation, but might as well just Might as well just parlay this one and call it a day. We got about what, plus 300 odds here as well. So,
yeah, I wish the only wish I have is that this game was not at 4:30 a.m. I'll have to watch the replay later.
Yeah, I'll be in Jersey going to a Man City bar to check this one out.
There you go.
The next one we got. So we're talking about a couple of the bigger teams, but we also have to touch on a couple teams that are hard to project on a week-to-week basis, two teams that we haven't really talked about much this season. I believe we bet on each of these teams three times throughout the year here. So Aston Villa are home, plus 105 to win. Crystal Palace are plus 285 to win. The draw is plus 240. Over 2.5 goals is plus 130. Under 2.5 goals, minus 160. This match is, who knows? I guess the big thing is, will Wilfried Zaha return to the starting 11? He returned, I think, light training last week. Again, this is early Thursday. We don't have any of these press conferences yet this morning. So maybe Zaha's back. Maybe he's not. Funny thing with Aston Villa, I was looking at them. I think they won 2-0 at Everton last week. Under Unai Emery, for some reason, they've been a better team away from home than at home. Do you think anything goes into that, or it's just been opponents, random chance, or just Aston Villa, hard to project?
Any question regarding this matchup is a loaded question.
Yeah.
This one's just so tough to predict. I think we got two mid-table sides. Villa's 11th and Palace is 12th, if I remember correctly. Crystal Palace is winless in their last eight matches in the Premier League. So they've been just like grinding out results, or like, you know, draws, I guess, if we want to call that a result. But they can't seem to win. So they're heading away from home to Aston Villa. Aston Villa has been a slightly bit better under Unai Emery. But yeah, this one is, you know, when we looked at the matches to open the week, we were like, all right, well, we got to probably pick a team that we haven't talked about in a while. I think I'm 0-3 against Crystal Palace overall, or betting on them this season. So confidence is low, but I'm going to go with in a situation like this, you got to recreate the drawing board. So I didn't necessarily know what to do. Aston Villa with plus odds playing at home to win while Palace has a 1-8 games. I thought about that. I thought that would be kind of a bit of a silly pick, just given Palace's ability to just like grind out draws. I think they have the second most draws they're second or third behind Brentford and Newcastle, who are tied at 11 draws this season, and Palace have 9. So, all right, there's that. There's the draw at plus 245. That's crazy odds if you really want to do something interesting. But ultimately, I'm going to go back to a bet that I kind of started on a couple weeks ago. But I like the goal band draws for total goals. And for me here, I decided that I could really see this being a 2-0 or a 1-1 game. Even 0-0 is not out of the realm of possibilities. So I went 1-2 goal. Total goals for that band, and it's minus 110 as of last night. I think that this game, you know, it's probably going to be, there's no part of me that thinks it's going to be like 2-2 or 3-3 or anything like that. So I went with the total goal bands. You know, looking at some of their recent games, they're kind of all over the place. So this one's tough to bet. If you wanted to, maybe if you didn't think that they'll stay under two goals, and maybe they'll go, it might be a 2-1 match, you could go 2-3 goal in the total goal bands at plus 100, so you get even odds there. But yeah, that's where I'm at. And then if you really want to get crazy with it, go exact goals at two goals. That's plus 205. So I'm on like the 1-1, you know, 2-0 train here. So
yeah, 1-1 is a plus 425.
Yeah, so I had a tough time, and the over unders didn't offer anything of value, I didn't think. So that's why I went with this particular bet. It's just like, where else do we go? I think the fun bet would be to just bet the draw at plus 245.
I think if Crystal Palace keep playing the same way they do, I mean, this 1-2 goal scored is the way to go. Maybe, you know, a world in which Zaha's back and they don't play this brand of brand of football that's, you know, play not to lose kind of a thing, which is kind of what they've been doing. I don't know what's going on with them. You know, this is the second season under Vieira. It feels like they're worse than they were last season. And they're just not – I know last season it was every other match. They went out and got some surprising wins, but it just really hasn't happened this season.
Yeah.
But then I was starting to look at their recent matchups, and I'll read through their recent opponents here. So they played at Chelsea. They played Manchester United. They played Newcastle. They played at Manchester United. They had those back-to-back they had those quick Manchester United games in there. They played Brighton. They were at Brentford, and then they most recently played Liverpool. So they got I think it was six matches against teams in the top 10, teams in the top five. So you have that in there. Then you have the Aston Villa, their home results. They gave up four goals against Arsenal. I know they let go of that one late, and maybe it's probably not as bad as that 4-2 result looks. But before that, they lost 4-2 against Leicester City. They have the 2-1 loss against Stevenage in the FA Cup. I know that was a B squad, but they still let that match get away from them. Needless to say, I'm going with a corner bet because who knows what we're going to get from either of these teams. If Crystal Palace keep playing like they do, I think this is a 1-1 result. If they want to come out and score and try and win this match, I think there could be goals in this one because Aston Villa has shown that they can score under Emery, but they can also allow goals. So, if you want to go for like a over 3.5 or over 4.5, something crazy to happen, go for it. But I'm going Crystal Palace, race to three corners. That's plus 115. I just think the way that the Aston Villa play isn't really conducive to corners. They don't consistently get a lot of corners. And Crystal Palace, no matter how they play, I believe – so at Liverpool, I'm trying to remember the bet I took. I think I took Crystal Palace race to five corners or something. I believe that hit. Crystal Palace had a late Michael Elise corner. It hit in like stoppage time or something. But as long as Crystal Palace play, you know, the play not to lose and play safe defensively, they won't allow corners. And then I think I will go on with the race to three corners and not five or seven or something, because maybe neither one of these teams gets to five corners. But neither one of us are taking a side because we don't know what's going to happen between these teams, basically.
I'm taking both sides on that draw.
You're taking both sides on the draw?
That's what I was saying. It's tough to pick Crystal Palace money line. So it's like, let's take this draw. Crystal Palace, five of their past six games have ended in a draw.
Would you rather do draw at plus 235 or like the scoreless draw or 1-1 result?
I'd rather go the draw.
Crystal Palace double chance plus 170. Or sorry, draw no bet plus 170. Double chance is minus 135.
Yeah, I looked at the double chance, but not, you know, it was above that minus 130 when I looked last night. This one's ugly. I'm not good at betting Crystal Palace, so I would take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. All right. We got a bigger game. I don't want to say bigger game, but bigger teams are playing Sunday. We got, I think it's two matches on Sunday. This one, Liverpool home against Manchester United. Liverpool fresh off a 2-0 win against Wolverhampton on Wednesday. Manchester United fresh off their cup title there. But they also – they came back. That's right. They came back against West Ham on Wednesday. They won 3-1. But we got Liverpool home plus 140 to win. Manchester United plus 180 to win. The draw is plus 265. And then the over 2.5 goals is minus 165. Over 3.5 goals is plus 155. Under 2.5 goals is plus 125. Chris, I believe you're 6-3 on Liverpool matches this season. One of the best teams, one of the best records you've had on any of the teams. And unsurprisingly, you know this team more than anyone else. So are Liverpool back to being Liverpool? That's what my question is for you.
First of all, I know this team better than I know myself. No, I don't think they're back to being Liverpool. There's just so many the midfield. There's just so many issues with the team. But yeah, I mean, they're playing at home against Man United. They've actually been they're what I think Liverpool's unbeaten in their past four matches. They've kept a clean sheet in four straight Premier League matches, which is not something that they had been doing.
We got to specify Premier League matches. That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, they shipped five goals at home against Real Madrid, you know, sandwiched in the middle of that. So take that for what it is. But Real Madrid, a little bit different than playing at Crystal Palace, you know, or playing Wolverhampton on a Wednesday. So it's an interesting matchup, man. I'm so impressed by Man United this season. They just, like, continue to – I was talking to a friend the other day. I was like, man, I got to get my Man United – Premier League winner bet in, because I feel like they're just, like, so primed, like, to make a good run here. And you know, again, yesterday they win in the FA Cup. They're coming off bringing home some Erik ten Hag's first silverware as the club manager on against Newcastle. So it's like they're in just a really good spot, and I feel like I'm a little scared to. I don't feel great about. I wouldn't take the 145 at home. I feel like this has got United win or draw written all over it. But I mean, Liverpool's looked a little bit better, but I think overall Man United just, like, looks so good, and like they really have good direction. What I'm looking at here is has nothing to do with the result, I guess, but I'm just going to go through a list of goals here by Mohamed Salah against Manchester United in the past few seasons. He scored a goal in August. Prior to that, in April, he scored two goals and added an assist. That was April of 22. In October of 2021, he had three goals and assists. One goal in May of 21, two goals in the FA Cup. That was back in January of 21. He didn't score in a 0-0 draw. And then he had a goal in January of 2020, I think, is if that's correct. So he has been just a machine against Manchester United in terms of goals. You get some crazy good odds, I think, for this bet. You get Mohamed Salah anytime goal as of last night was plus 180. He's now, I read, this is interesting, but he scored against Wolves yesterday, and that was his 20th goal in all competitions for Liverpool. He's done that in six straight seasons for Liverpool. The man is just an absolute machine. So I'm taking him I think I took a Marcus Rashford anytime goal a couple weeks ago too. But I'm taking Salah here. Anytime goal of plus 180. I think, you know, whether Liverpool win or not, I think that's going to be tough for them. But I do think that Mohamed Salah finds the back of the net.
Are you worried at all about all those former Manchester United teams were terrible and this one's actually kind of good?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. Maybe not. Like, this seems way better, yes. But, I mean, Mohamed Salah is still Mohamed Salah. He scored against top six sides. He scored, you know, City, Tottenham, Man United. He's got a great goal-scoring record in those matches. So it's not like he can't. You know, Chelsea, whatever. It's not like he can't find the back of the net against the top side.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this team is certainly better than in those matchups that I listed, but that he scores goals against whoever he wants. So I think that, I'm a little concerned, but I think it'll be fine.
So in terms of the matchups here, so I always want to talk about the midfield. We've been talking about the midfield. We'll see who starts. Harvey Elliott started midweek. Henderson might be back. Bacicic, Fabinho both started Wednesday as well. But, I mean, we have that Real Madrid loss, and we have these other games. So they played Wolverhampton. They played Crystal Palace. They played Newcastle, who had 10 men for about 70 minutes of that game. They played Everton, Wolves again, and then kind of down the line. And then you have that Real Madrid game in there. Uptick in competition, and it kind of gets away from them, their midfield you know, kind of just struggles against a more experienced, more advanced team a little bit there. So do you think that comes into play at all in this matchup with Casemiro, with all the Manchester United guys, with Wout Weghorst playing as a forward who basically is a defensive midfielder because he can't score and his purpose is to basically get back and defend. Do you think that, just like the uptick in competition is going to be something that gives Liverpool, I mean, obviously it's going to give them fits and that kind of thing. It's obviously it's going to be a bit more difficult, but Liverpool have had a nice run at home. Do you think, you know, the level of competition is more of a factor, or do you think Liverpool at home is going to be enough to overcome Manchester United, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, level of competition is certainly a factor here. I think it's interesting. We have right now, I think on RotoWire, we have Joel Matip in the starting 11. Ibrahim Konate came back in against Wolverhampton yesterday. So I would really be surprised. I would like to see Konate come back into the lineup. He's coming off an injury. So it would be interesting if he played back-to-back matches after kind of a long
injury. Yeah.
His inclusion in the starting 11 is a big plus over, I mean, I love Joel Mossy, but, like, you know, I think Konate is just a much better player, and he plays better with Van Dijk in the center there. But, yeah, they've been better at home. I think Man United, like I led with, you know, they're just a really good team right now. I love them as a dark horse to win the league. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring home, you know, maybe, I mean, they just won the FA Cup again. So I think they're just in a really good vein of form right now. And it's going to be tough for Liverpool, despite playing at home. And this matchup is always just, like, you know, must watch viewing. It's always electric. There's been some really good, really good games in the past, and both teams kind of shared the spoils, I guess, in recent years. So yeah, it's not like every time the home team wins in this matchup either. Like, Liverpool's gone into Old Trafford and won, and then United's gotten some results at Anfield as well. So I'm a little bit weary of taking, like, a Liverpool money line bet. I don't think that'll be the case.
Yeah, I initially had Marcus Rashford to score. I think that was about plus 135, but I decided against it. I looked at Liverpool's home form, and I decided to make this just a full-on corners and wagers show. So
yeah.
I got a corners bet, and one of my favorite things to do, or what I've done a lot this season, is gone under on corners when it's two top teams playing against each other, because usually when you have teams like this playing against each other, it's usually not like back and forth, tons of opportunities immediately kind of thing. So I'm going under 4.5 corners in the first half. It's minus 105. I mean, we talked about Liverpool's struggles a little bit. That's also led to they've had fewer corners than normal over the past month or so. Their corner numbers just aren't the same as they've used to be. And then Manchester United aren't a team like Newcastle or Manchester City that racks up corners as it is. So I think this will be, I just don't think there's going to be a ton of opportunities. So under 4.5 corners in the first half, and then we'll take Mo Salah. He'll get his goal at some point in the second half because we know he's going 90. So there you go.
Yeah. Interesting. I love the corners, but yeah, under five corners is, like, that seems like a pretty good bet. Under 4.5 here, but I guess 4 corners. Yeah, I would be surprised if there was that many corners by Liverpool in this game.
Even against, like, Wolverhampton, where, I mean, Liverpool had the advantage most of that match. They finished with 5 corners in that game. So, yeah. I mean, this isn't, you know, one-to-one comparison, but that's kind of how their games have been going recently. They're not going full on attack from the start and just racking up opportunities. And I don't think they can do that against Manchester United anyway. So that's kind of why I think it's going to be a little bit limited in the first half.
Yeah, no, I like this bet. The corners and wagers rules on.
No, it's not done yet. We got our team parlay here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And let's look at our record. So we are, we're 8-14, but we're up $665 on the team parlay. Chris is 13-8. I am 12-10. And let's see what we got. You're going with goals. You got this Southampton-Leicester match. It's the late match on Saturday. Southampton, actually, yeah, both these teams lost on, both these teams just lost as favorites. I'd read Southampton were home. They lost 2-1 against Grimsby. Leicester, they lost 2-1 against Blackburn. I read a tweet about this Southampton performance that no one really cared. They lost to Grimsby, who are not a good team. They lost to Grimsby. I think it was two PKs maybe, but they probably outplayed them, but, you know, clearly they still lost. And the fact that people watching the match said that they, you know, they had no emotion. They didn't really care if they lost or not, kind of a thing. Not a great sign. They're already in last place. And then Leicester City, they should get James Maddison back, which is a boost for what you're going to be talking about here. So take it away.
Yeah. tough to hear, hear your players like didn't care about playing, but Southampton, you know, I took them last week. I think that's the one I missed last week. I took Southampton double chance against Leeds. Leeds comes out and they win 1-0. So I'm not taking Southampton anymore. But yeah, that's a really tough situation. Anyways, this is, I feel like, one of the games I want to watch this weekend, just because
you get to standalone game on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's like it's a fun game. Like Leicester City, you know, they might not be that great of a team. They might ship a million goals, but at least it's entertaining every time I watch them. I love some of their James Maddison, one of my favorite players to watch in the league. And Southampton right now are just like not good. Not that Leicester are particularly good too. They lost to the FA Cup, but for my bet, I just kind of went through the over unders on each match this week and try to find where there might be some value. I found that the over 2.5 goals on this match was +100. And it's like you look at the table, you look at how many goals each team has conceded. We've got bottom, the team who's conceded the most goals is Bournemouth with 48 goals. Then we've got Leicester City at 42 goals. So they're tied with Nottingham Forest. And then there's Southampton, who's let up 41 goals. Between the two teams, they've let up over 80 goals in, what is that, about 50 matches. So there's been a million goals in each of these teams' matchups. I think, you know, Leicester City just are involved in high-scoring affairs. They themselves have scored quite a few goals too. So, yeah, they have 36, whereas Southampton, maybe not the best attacking side either. But I think between the two teams, like, they got to find a way to get over 2.5 goals here. So that's where I'm going to go with the over 2.5 at even odds.
Yeah, I wrote my bets for my article. We'll be out later today. This was one of the bets. This is the one of the bets I bolded out. The odds just seemed off. We're getting +100 on this match. You look at the Leicester away matches. They've scored the third most goals in the league away from home, which is kind of crazy for a team sitting near the bottom of the table. But 12 away matches, 49 goals scored. Maybe you can look at that and be like, well, Southampton aren't good. Who's to say they can actually score? That's true. Very true. They just got one against Grimsby. But with James Maddison back, I think it changes a little bit. Actually, not a little bit. It changes a lot. Yeah. Home against Arsenal last week, Maddison was maybe, I don't know, surprise absence, but he missed the game, and that just kind of took away from what Leicester could do. It was already a tough spot. But without Maddison, the team, they're just not the same team, and he's going to be back. He had an illness. He had a knee issue, but he should be good to go. As long as Maddison's in the starting 11, I like the over 2.5 in this one. But for mine, I am looking at this Brighton match. Might be one of my favorite bets of the weekend. should I say it's a five gold star pick? What are we going to call it? Five star pick, something like that.
Yeah, I don't have any branding ready for this one. I didn't know we did that, but
so if you want to make this bet, I think you have to
bet of the week.
I think you have to get it in now because this bet was minus 105 yesterday. I've seen throughout the weeks leading up to matches, corner bets like this. This could be minus 145 closer to kickoff, but this is Brighton minus one corner in the first half against West Ham. And I mean, I'm always on Brighton corner bets. They just had their B squad against whoever they played midweek. I took them minus 1.25 corners in the first half at Stoke City. Even with their B squad, they got three corners in the first half compared to one for Stoke. So that hit. Now Brighton are at home. They rested a few guys. I mean, hopefully, like, Solomon March is fine. Hopefully, Estupiñán is back. Either way, I think they still have – West Ham have, I think, the third least amount of possession in the league. And then you compare that with how Brighton play, how they like to dominate matches, control matches. I think Brighton are going to have 70% possession in the first half. They're going to create opportunities. I think Brighton could get five corners themselves in the first half. Maybe West Ham will get one or two kind of a thing. But I just think this is a slam dunk bet. This is the gold star bet of the week. If this doesn't hit, well, sorry, I guess. But Brighton minus one corner in the first half against West Ham is minus 115. Southampton, Leicester, over 2.5 goals is plus 100. That equals plus 273 odds. Are we going to hit this week, Chris?
I would love to. That would make it, you know, second week in a row. And I think we hit we missed the week before and then had hit two before that or something like that. So the parlay's kind of heating up. I would love – I mean, these bets as standalones, I like them both as standalones. But, yeah, for the parlay, I think they're interesting too. So, yeah, I love the confidence in a gold star bet. The Kits and Wager stamp of approval from Adam. So, yeah, you know, this guy's what you're like 43 and 23 or something like that. So when someone with that success has that level of confidence, I think you got to roll with it.
And then West Ham will get like five corners. Jared Bowen will just be running up and down the sideline.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'll get a Slack message from Adam. Like, yeah.
Great, it's like, all right, well, no more gold star bets for me, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be in a Jersey pub somewhere.
Right. That's it for our show. Chris has a meeting he has to get to. Yes, he has a 7:30 a.m. meeting to get to. But does anything else stand out before we go? Looking at the cheat sheet for the full weekend, we have a lot of big favorites, a lot of home favorites. What didn't we talk about? I don't know if anything really stands out. We got a Monday night match for Brentford Fulham, Chelsea home against Leeds.
Oh my god. I was just about to say, like, that is the one that I – there's five games in that time slot. And, you know, I feel Crystal Palace Villa will be kind of on the back burner for me because I'm going to have to watch Chelsea Leeds because I kind of enjoy watching Leeds and Chelsea. If they don't win – like, if they don't get, like, 3 points here, you got to believe. How much longer does Graham Potter get? What if they don't score?
I wouldn't be surprised if they lost given how they played. I don't know.
Yeah, so that one's interesting. And then, yeah, we got a – I love it when you know, we get a nice time slate for that Man United-Liverpool game. I'll be at the pub, so I'm excited about that opportunity.
Yeah, we got Sunday, Nottingham Forest home against Everton. A little bit of a different match than Liverpool-Manchester United, but, you know, fun Sunday nevertheless.
And then just I think that on that one.
Yeah, that Brentford Fulham one will be fun as well. I don't believe Ivan Toney is suspended, so he should be good in that one. But
nice.
You can find Chris at CHROWN8 on Twitter. You can find me at RotoZadroik. You can also follow RotoWire Soccer at RotoWire Soccer. I've been doing a couple little quick betting videos before some midweek matches. I got a single game parlay wrong in the Arsenal one, but I did get a couple bets right for Arsenal and Liverpool games there. But so yeah, follow that account. Maybe there'll be a random betting video that pops up Monday night, something like that. But RotoWire.com/soccer trial. if you want to get this cheat sheet and everything else that we offer at RotoWire. But Chris, thanks for joining me. Have fun at your meeting. Good luck on your bets. And again, I say it every week, but let's go 8-0.
Let's do it. Thanks, Adam.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.